This is Report to Wyoming.
This show targets local issues that matter right here in Natrona County, where we talk to real people about their thoughts and ideas. Today's episode is a haunting and inspiring conversation with Azriel Anthony, the creator of Candlelight Frights, who will be producing a haunted historic Hallows Eve experience on October 31st, All Hallows Eve. You hear a sound, and it jars you awake from a fitful sleep. You look at the clock on your bedside. 3 a.m., the bewitching hour. You try to go back to sleep, but it's all for naught. Something doesn't feel right. It's in the air. You can feel it in your bones. Another sound, a flash of light. You sit up in bed, nestle your feet into your house slippers, and exit your bedroom. You hear a faint voice in the darkness. It's not scary. It's, in fact, almost warm, friendly, seductive. It beckons you through the hallway and down the stairs, and as you descend, suddenly there comes a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at your chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," you mutter, "tapping at my chamber door. Only this and nothing more." But when you open your chamber door, you see not a visitor. Instead, you see a candelabra on top of a crudely fashioned slip of paper, adorned with words that both exhilarate and frighten you. Your presence is requested, nay, required, on this, the 31st of October. Samhain. Suddenly, the door slams behind you. The candle is blown out, by whom or what you don't know. And then, you feel a coarse, cold hand on your shoulder. It wasn't always like this. For years and years, October 31st has been a day of consumption and corruption. When you were a child, it was dressing up as a comic book character or a horror movie icon and going door to door begging for candy. As you got older, it became less about the candy and more about the alcohol. Costumes transitioned from Batman or Freddy Krueger into Edgar Allan Poe or a sexy tree. Halloween became known more for its debauchery than for its dread. And it was awesome. But this year, there's something strange in the neighborhood, and it comes courtesy of Azriel Anthony. Azriel loves two things more than almost any other, history and Halloween, and now he and his team are combining both to create a truly unique Halloween experience in Casper. And you're invited. Candlelight Frights is presenting an exclusive, immersive, interactive, and historical Hallows Eve experience, and it's happening one night only on October 31st in Casper.
So thank you for talking with me. I think that this idea I thought a couple weeks ago, I think it's brilliant. So kind of tell me how this whole thing came about, who had the idea and what gave you the idea.
Sure. Essentially, long story short, my entire life, I've loved Halloween. It's always been my favorite holiday. And I think what really piqued my interest, so this is 100% my vision, and essentially what piqued my interest is several years ago, I'd seen some photographs of some historical Halloween costumes that were positively terrifying. And, you know, they're all homemade. And that really got me sort of interested. And I've always known Halloween's history because I've enjoyed the holiday, but definitely was unaware of you know, some of the traditions that we'd forgotten. So during COVID, you know, the actual shutdown, I picked up three books on essentially Halloween history and traditions. And it was in reading those and taking some notes that I came up with an idea, you know, to essentially have a historical Halloween themed party, which I originally was going to just do with some friends at my house. And, you know, we would actually do all these things myself. And when I started sharing with some friends to find out, you know, hey, would you come to this, you know, party if I had it at my house? Everybody's like, yes, please. And then the more that I talked to people there, you know, it seemed like it was something that there might be some broader interest in. So we wanted to give people, you know, two routes to get there. One, you know, no nonsense, just show up for the party and learn, you know, experience the immersive historical Halloween. But the other, you know, of course, is going to take some time. So if I can, you know, essentially we kind of have four different clue paths set up that involve some local macabre history, if you will. And so there's sort of a poem or riddle that begins each of the paths. that, you know, maybe a transplant, maybe somebody who'd moved here from abroad wouldn't immediately recognize, and they might need to, you know, ask a neighbor or, you know, go into, if you grew up in Casper, you know, the Facebook group, and or maybe talk to a reference librarian to sort of identify those locations. And once they've identified one of those four original locations, there's kind of a poem or a rhyme that, that kind of gives away the location. And I don't want to be too explicit other than to say, you know, for example, you could end up in a cemetery.
Okay.
And then once you go to, you know, whatever that location is for the clue path that you're assigned, you know, there'll be a word or a letter or something that you'll need to find there. And then when you have that, essentially, you'll have to learn how to do a Playfair cipher. And once you know how to do a Playfair cipher, and there are instructions for that, there's a YouTube video we're including with it. You know, then of course you decipher another message, and that'll take you to another location. And once you get there, then you will find a QR code there, and you'll have to scan it in, and then that'll bring you to the website where there are historical photographs around Casper. And you've got a, it's kind of a digital jigsaw puzzle. You'll have to put it together and find something in the photograph.
Okay.
And, what, and then once you find something in the photograph, whatever that is, then it's kind of a digital escape room. So you've got to, you know, enter some things into a form. And then as you do that, you'll actually be learning about, like, some local macabre history. So it either could be a location that's, like, haunted or supposedly haunted in town, or maybe there's an urban legend around a place.
Sure.
And so then what I've done is I've linked to news articles about those. So you'll actually, you know, learn about those things. And then ultimately, once you've done that, then it reveals the your secret summoning location. And then you'll meet and, of course, walk to the venue at 6:30 p.m. in costume with a candlelit processional to the venue. And then, of course, the path of clarity, you know, you just go straight to the venue and avoid all that.
Sure. That all sounds so fun and like such a cool, unique, different thing to do in Casper. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that are like, there's only bars to like celebrate Halloween. Like that's all people do. So having something like this that is fun and engaging and like honors the history of the holiday, I think is awesome.
Thanks. I appreciate the compliment. Yeah, I'm an original Halloweeny. I mean, I'll tell you that I haven't done it in a couple of years because, of, you know, I've been things going on in my personal life. But I'll say that, you know, the month of Halloween, I literally have a palette full of Halloween decorations and I have holographic ghosts in my windows, you know, for the whole month. So that's how much I'm into Halloween. Some people are crazy about Christmas. I'm crazy about Halloween. I also am a history educator and a historian. So this is stuff that's interested me my whole life. And the more I learned about it, the more I went, wow, this is really cool. What's a dumb supper? And then, wow, you mean people used to picnic in graveyards? You know, like there's all this stuff that, you know, so many people don't know that so many Americans would have appreciated all over this country. And we've forgotten. They're just customs and traditions that have totally been forgotten as the holiday got more and more commercialized.
What is what's your favorite kind of tradition that comes from Halloween?
Well, you know, and I did talk to both other reporters. There's the Oil City one, you know, and then there's one in the Casper Star Tribune. And I was surprised none of them. It was mentioned in Brendan's article in Oil City, but and I did send him a correction. He called it a, you know, soul cakes, but it's the dumb supper, which is, you know, particularly interesting. This actually goes back to Celtic traditions. Around essentially guising and which would later become, you know, after disguise, so that would eventually become trick-or-treating, and it had everything to do with Samhain, or Samhain, or Samhain, depending on who you hear say it. But essentially the idea is that, you know, of course, Halloween, the night is supposed to, between the living and the dead, is supposed to, the veil between the two is supposed to be thinnest. And, you know, there's this belief that, you know, in cemeteries and graveyards and places where humans are buried, that their spirits are actually able to wander the earth that night. And so one of those traditions that really goes back to the ancient Celtic tradition is that of the dumb supper. And so some of that, you know, was blended with Catholicism through the Catholic Hallowmass and or Hallowmass. And essentially that's November 1st is all Saints Day, and November 2nd is All Souls Day. And so one of the traditions is on the eve before Hallowmas, those two nights, the Catholic holiday, people would go souling, which is the origin of trick-or-treating. Okay. And you'd go door-to-door and collecting alms for the poor. And so there's the idea, of course, Catholics believe in purgatory. And so essentially there's the idea that, the poor who departed that year, and of course in the medieval period, who couldn't afford indulgences and what have you to get out of purgatory, essentially you would essentially gather food and for the poor, and that would happen on Hallows Eve. And that was a tradition that became known as souling. And people would dress up in costume with masks, and that eventually is going to become trick-or-treating. However, out of that souling, you have this concept of a soul cake, and that's one of the things that people would bake to feed the poor. And so they would collect offerings from people, for essentially indulgences for the poor who died that year, but they would also collect food for the support of the living poor on Hallows Eve. And so out of that, soul cakes, and this became a British, Irish, Scottish, and then American tradition, because the British, Scottish, and Irish immigrants to this country brought the tradition with them. And what a dumb supper is essentially it's done with soul cakes. And to tell you the longer version of it, and this is what, of course, if you did this in your own house, essentially, and we do have a local bakery who is going to be making them according to the tradition, but you're supposed to essentially, actually prepare the dough itself in silence, standing on like some kind of an overturned box or, like a chair on its side. So you're not supposed to be standing on the floor. This is a really weird tradition. And essentially what you do is if originally, there are a couple different variants of the tradition. One is you would have seven people do it at a party. If it was a smaller, we aren't having 100 people coming, but, you have a small party with a couple dozen people or something. Sure. And seven people with their left thumbs knead the dough in silence. There's another one where essentially three people, according to a rhyme, would make the soul cakes. But again, kneading with their left thumbs. And so it's just a very simple flour and water cake. And basically you'd bake it in the fire, and it's kind of brittle, almost like hardtack. And essentially you score it down the middle. And then in silence at midnight, essentially, the soul cakes are distributed and people break them and take a bite of it. And then what they're supposed to do is walk backwards out of the Halloween party venue through the front entrance. And if you were doing this in your house, you would walk home backwards. Now, of course, we can't have people on Halloween driving home backwards, right, unless they would like to visit with the Casper Police Department, and especially if they did choose to imbibe, because there will be alcohol at the party. But, so we are telling people, go ahead and drive home. But when you get out of your car, walk backwards into your house, take another bite. And the leftover soul cake, you're supposed to wrap it and place it under your pillow. And okay, that night, you're supposed to dream of your one true love. And so I think it's one of the most interesting traditions that I came across. But there are all kinds of other ones.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That is very cool. So kind of digging into the history of Casper a little bit, I know that we do have like some places that are quote-unquote haunted. But is there one place in general that really or specifically kind of makes you think like, oh, there's something here?
Well, I mean, there are all kinds of places as I did my research. I mean, there's the I want to say, what was it, the Wold Mansion? Is that what it's called? On Wolcott? The
sure.
One with the lions, that one's supposed to be haunted and it supposedly changed several owners because it is haunted. I've heard several stories about that one. Of course, Fort Casper's another one. And then, of course, a lot of people would say Highland Park Cemetery. And there are other places, the Rialto Cigar Store, the Firehouse downtown, that the original one they restored and made into apartments next to Blacktooth, so there are several places that are supposedly haunted in town. I've heard stories that the Bishop Mansion could be haunted, and pretty much a lot of the old houses, the more Victorian era or Craftsman House era houses in town, are many of them people claim are haunted. But I say, you know, I don't want to give away locations that could be involved in that, but you have some suggestions there, and they may or may not include locations that might be on the paths.
Sure, absolutely. So what should people dress up for this event? You,
yeah,
that adds to the fun.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And thanks for asking that question. It is, you know, ultimately it is on the website. We do have workshops scheduled, but part of the idea behind this is you make your own costume. And that's why we started promoting this event, you know, 2 months before Halloween, so that people who really wanted to attend could start thinking about it and maybe making preparations. So I know not everybody's into cosplay or costuming, but so we don't want to be exclusive to those people. And so if you're not into cosplay, that's fine. You can purchase a costume, but try to make it creative, you know, try to make it clever. You know, some of the best costumes are those costumes where you actually make them out of what you already have in your house or in your,
sure,
closet, or what you might be able to repurpose. So we do plan, because the vast majority of people in this country in our history would have been making some paper mache masks. And, of course, you know, most of the clothing that you purchased were made at home by, you know, the homemaker, you know, with who had a sewing machine or hand-stitched all the clothing the whole family wore, right? Well, they also,
sure,
made the Halloween costumes as well. So part of the idea is that if that's in your skill set, great. If it isn't, we do have 4 or 5 workshops scheduled throughout the month of October on Sundays, and they will be at the Void. That information is on the website under the costume creation page.
Okay.
And you don't have to come to the workshops, but if you do come to the workshops, we are providing essentially paper mache clay material, newspaper. If you want to buy wire mesh because you're going to do an armature, you want to. We'll also have tin foil. We'll show people how to make paper mache masks. And we'll also have cardboard for people that might have some other ideas. And so a lot of people will at least make a mask. And we figure a lot of people, I believe the third workshop, we're going to go ahead and go to Michael's and Goodwill. And so if, you know, you do want to repurpose something that might be at a thrift store for a costume, you could absolutely do that at very low cost. We'd also talked about going to Rescue Treasures, but since we had to move the workshops to a Sunday, of course, Rescue Treasures will be closed. So,
okay.
Yeah. And there is a costume contest. I did forget to mention that.
Okay.
So costume contest, $200 grand prize. There will be other prizes. The categories are best overall. That's the grand prize. And then the other ones are scariest, and then most clever, unique, original, or creative.
Sure.
So there's kind of a third catch-all category. So there is a contest.
That's awesome.
And it is also a masquerade, to the extent that when we are asking people to wear masks. And if you don't want to do either, and, you know, last minute you decide to come, you can still purchase a ticket the night of, and we do plan on having masks at the door.
Okay.
You know, so for $20, you can buy a mask. But
perfect.
The idea and part of the magic of this, and this was also a time-honored tradition, just like the Path of Mystery, essentially, it was not uncommon for you, when you got invited to a Halloween party, let's say in the 40s or 50s, or even before that, you would answer the door after dark to a candle burning on your doorstep with your invitation, and you would have no idea who'd invited you. And essentially, you'd have to decipher clues to get to the party. And so along with that kind of theme of mystery, of course, you know, many of these parties were masquerade parties where you go there and you wear a mask all night. So unless you happen to know somebody by their voice and their size, maybe their shoes, part of the magic of this tradition was that you may not even know who you attended that party with.
Oh, that's,
you know,
very good.
So who was that buxom blonde who was making eyes at you through the mask all night?
Right.
Or, you know, who was that handsome fiend, that devil behind, you know, a mask, you know, who winked at you? You go home not knowing.
Right. That's fun. So how much does it mean to you to be able to not only combine like your love of Halloween and history, but then also like be able to present that to the community?
Well, you know, I've been passionate about history my entire life. And I think the more that you study history, the more that you actually become accepting of differences between people, the more that you appreciate the sacrifices of the people who came before you, the more that you understand your world. So I think, you know, by doing this, of course, I hope to impart in some people a love of history. And beyond that, of course, giving them an experience. You know, this isn't, like you said, you know, just a, you know, what people normally do at Halloween time is that, you know, adults of consenting age, of course, will go out and, you know, in costume and essentially drink. This, you know, is a learning and teaching experience, and we hope it really is an immersive experience. There are teaching demonstrations at several different stations at the actual party where you'll learn about these long-lost, long-forgotten traditions. So, for example, there are traditions that go back to, you know, the Celtic tradition on Samhain. You know, a lot of people, it's spelled Samhain, and they mispronounce it. And you'll hear 100 different people tell you the right pronunciation. And, you know, they vary from Samhain, Samhain, so on and so forth. But, you know, of course, the Romans recorded that the Celts actually practiced human sacrifice on this night. And it was a night, essentially, it was their new year. So it was, and winter was coming, of course. So hence the sacrifices were to ultimately ask for a good harvest in the next year and to show gratitude for the harvest that had just completed in the current year. And they would have bonfires. And, of course, you have bonfire leaping traditions all over Europe, not just in the Celts, on their New Year's, often Beltane, you know, as far as pagan holidays go. But essentially, as they jump over the fire, you know, that's part of that sweeping away the bad juju, if you will, from the last year and welcoming in a new year. Sort of like, you know, you sweep your house from or vacuum it from backwards to front to sort of reset and cleanse your home of any bad energy or bad spirits. Those are traditions. So, for example, one of the stations, we're calling them ritual sites where you learn about these old Halloween rituals that we used to have. For example, hearkening back to that Celtic bonfire leaping thing, which, by the way, comes from the word bone fire, because after they slaughtered cattle in the fall, you know, they would burn the bones in a fire, hence bonfire. And so out of those traditions over many, many hundreds of years, the tradition that survives is Halloween parties in the Victorian era and the early 20th century in America is candle leaping, and also traditions involving nuts. Of course, everybody knows about apple bobbing at Halloween parties. And thanks to COVID, we won't be able to do any actual bobbing, but we're going to do the alternate apple hanging, you know, from a string, which is still a time-honored tradition and an alternative that is a little more hygienic and sanitary for germ control. But a lot of the, you know, for example, you may know about apple bobbing, but most people don't realize that it was the Romans who brought apples to the British Isles, and almost all of the traditions around Halloween involving apples, apple cider, all of those things have everything to do with the Pomona worship, who is the goddess of fertility to the Romans. And okay. So all those traditions go back to the Romans. And so, you know, you'll learn about those traditions, leaping over candles, so on and so forth. So the central event for that evening is in the main hall. We're going to be playing American historic Halloween themed music. And I was shocked when I started adding songs, you know, like literally I have weeks of Halloween music that Americans produced, everything from classical Baroque you know, macabre classical music, all the way to rockabilly and blues, American folk music, and bebop. It's really kind of interesting to listen to these songs that, you know, really don't play on the radio anymore.
Right.
And another one of the stations in a time-honored tradition, not just at Halloween time, but also at Christmas in America, especially in the Victorian period, was sitting down and listening to ghost tales told by candlelight. That'll be another opportunity. All this information's on the website, of course.
Excellent. That is very, very cool. So what are you most excited for Casper to kind of experience?
That's a really good question. You know, honestly, I don't know that I have a favorite, because everything that is involved in this is really all about time-honored traditions that we've forgotten. So I'm not sure that I actually have a favorite, but what I would say is, you know, I think a lot of people will like learning about where, for example, like I said, some of those traditions come from. For example, you know, trick-or-treating going back to the Catholic souling, which goes back to the Celtic geising, or perhaps looking at, you know, we've all carved jack-o'-lanterns forever. Well, one of the outside stations where the candle traditions will be located, ultimately those you'll learn about field and farm traditions that people conducted around Halloween. You'll also see, you know, what, you know, they did in terms of placing nuts in the fire. Not a lot of us, you know, play around with chestnuts, hazelnuts, or walnuts at Halloween and stick them in a fire, or know how their behavior used to be interpreted. But I will tell you that the vast majority of traditions that we have around Halloween are all centered on two things. One, finding out essentially if you're going to have good luck in the next year, or secondly, who your true love is, who you'll marry, and or finding out if the person that you're with is going to last or is the right person for you. So, of course, you know, there's this holiday is very associated with fertility and, of course, marriage and romance. So I'm excited to see if people show up and, you know, maybe find out. Well, of course, we can't be held responsible for anything that might be intimated to them by visiting spirits this night.
Suddenly, the door slams behind you. The candle is blown out by whom or what, you don't know. And then you feel a coarse, cold hand on your shoulder. You awake with a start. Just a nightmare, you say out loud. It was just a nightmare. And a weird one at that. It was you, but it was a different time, a different place. Like, who uses candles to walk around at night anymore, right? You laugh to yourself and pick up your phone to check the time, and maybe your Twitter notifications. 3 a.m. on the dot. That's funny, you think. That was the time in my... Suddenly, you hear a tapping coming from the other room. This tapping wasn't a rapping so much, it was more of a typing. You get out of bed and throw your Snuggie on. It's October in Wyoming, after all. You walk out of your bedroom and down the hall, flipping on as many lights as you can. Maybe the dream scared you more than you thought. You go to your front door and open it, but there's nothing and nobody there. You roll your eyes at yourself and ready yourself to go back to bed, but you see that your office is illuminated by the light of a screen. It's probably just your computer, but didn't you turn your computer off? You always turn it off. Oh well, you'll go turn it off now. You enter the room and you see the computer is indeed turned on. As you approach it, you notice that blinking on the white screen is a message. One that you're sure you didn't write. Your presence is requested, nay, required, on this, the 31st of October. Samhain.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.